Thank you for listening to this week's message from Life Church. We pray you gain understanding and encouragement from this podcast. For more information or to connect with us, please visit us at lcwashpod.org.
It is a great day to be alive. Can I get a witness? Come on. Whew, I tell you what, every time we gather in the name of Jesus, my heart is full of hope and joy and refreshing. As we gaze upon Him, come on. Isn't it glorious? It's a beautiful day. We are coming up on Thanksgiving. Come on, any Thanksgiving fans around here? You know we got to go here for just a minute. Aaron talked about it a minute ago, but how many are already in Christmas? Let me see the hands. I'm talking like trees up in the house. You're bumping Christmas jams. Let's see it. Hands up so we can judge you. No, I'm kidding. Okay. No judgy. Oh, I love Christmas. It's great. This is an interactive sermon today. We're going to have people running different times. Just be ready for that. Don't let it catch you off guard. Well, 'tis the season, and man, Thanksgiving is here, though, and I treasure Thanksgiving. You know what? Honestly, I kind of hold to the belief, like, the day after Thanksgiving, let's crack open Christmas. Anybody with me there? All right, a couple people. We got some booers. All right, we see where this is headed. Let's step back from this. Don't want to offend anyone this morning. Now, whatever you choose in this seasonal greetings, just make sure that you are with those you love and cherish and treasure the moments you have. Amen? And let's be people of Thanksgiving. And, you know, I don't think that if you throw up your Christmas tree at the beginning of November, you're skipping Thanksgiving. But let your heart be postured in Thanksgiving. Amen? Give thanks to God for the blessings He's poured out upon our lives. Are we blessed? Amen. Come on, sometimes you got to remind yourself how blessed you really are. If you're sitting in this room, you are in like worldwide perspective. You are in the top of the top percentage of people who are doing very well. So we're blessed, aren't we? Amen. Can you just give God thanks? Take 20 seconds and thank Him for what He's done. Absolutely. So as we prepare to get into today, I want to talk about worship. And all right. I see you. All right. We're going to talk about worship today. And if you don't know, that's a lot of what I do here at Life Church is pertaining to worship and like overseeing our teams and things like that. Don't we have some amazing worship teams? Man, we have some not just amazing, but anointed by God to release the song of heaven. And we need that in this hour. Amen. But I've talked about worship in different elements, but today God has me on task for another angle that I actually don't often preach, but it's true nonetheless. God is moving in the earth through worship. It's inviting the presence of the living God. It's the adoration of who He is. And so just from the very get-go, before we get into the full spectrum of the message, I want you to understand that we worship God simply because He's worthy. And that could be the only sermon today, and it's enough. We worship God simply because He's worthy. We get a picture of worship happening in heaven in Revelation 4, that all of heaven, every tribe, every nation, every tongue, all of humanity gathered around the throne of God, bringing glory to worthy Jesus. In fact, we have a scene where there's like this heartbroken moment of, man, there's no one here that is worthy to open the scrolls of what God has for things to come. And they found one who is worthy. Jesus Christ, the one who lived a perfect life, who became our sin so that we could become His righteousness. Amen? One has been found worthy. One, there's one person who has given everything for you to have all of God. It's not a political party. Come on. It's no one else. Nothing else and no one else is worthy of your life. Period. Simply because He is worthy. And so today, Nikki touched on this too in some of the transition, but we're going to realign our focus for these moments we have together today on the one who is worthy. Isaiah says it like this: I saw the Lord seated high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. We need to get a fresh revelation of his majesty. Amen. We need a fresh revelation of his power, of his glory, that he is the unshakable one. No matter what you're looking like in your home life, no matter what your work situation looks like right now, no matter what you think the state of the nation is right now, he is unshakable. And we can stand here today with eyes filled with hope that he is moving in the earth. That as the word of God says in Colossians, this gospel is producing fruit throughout the nations of the earth. It's happening, and it's not bound to policy, and it's not bound to the things and the structures of this world. God is moving. The kingdom of heaven is advancing. Amen. And we're going to see it. We're going to see lives transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do we worship? We worship simply because he's worthy. You could spend your whole existence into eternity just on that. May seem simple, but it's profound. And as you see it with the eyes of faith, the understanding and enlightenment of your heart expands. Because here's the beauty of it. When we see heaven in Revelation 4, this picture, right? We see in Isaiah 6, this picture of angels literally like flying around. And they're kind of creepy described and things like that at times. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't understand this, but okay. So full of eyes and wings and all these kinds of things happening, and they're circling around, and they keep saying, holy, 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 over and over and over. And I've heard it said this, that every time they say holy, they see a new glimpse, a new side, a new facet of who he is. We will never exhaust him. You'll never, like, capture everything that God is. If you feel you have nailed down to who God is and what he does, you've created an idol. Now we can learn and we can grow in knowledge and wisdom. All treasures of wisdom and things to be known are hidden in his hands, the word of God tells us, right? So we can grow in knowledge and understanding, but you'll never exhaust who he is. He's unsearchable, he's unfathomable, he's beyond. And we press into that great unknown today and we worship him in all of his majesty simply because of who he is. That's the call. Malachi 1:11 talks about that there will be a sound of worship rising from every nation in the earth, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. His name will be praised. That's in our future. That's what's to come. That's his game plan, that all the earth will see him for who he is, and that Jesus will rule the nations with truth and justice. Amen? Come on. I'm just trying to build your faith today. Listen, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. This is what he's doing in the earth, and we got to have fresh eyes to see it. Amen? Yeah. Eyes to see what he's doing. I think it's important to recognize that worship includes music and song, but music and song isn't all that worship is. Amen? Sometimes we like focus it down to, oh, yeah, worship, you mean like when I turn on my radio and they're singing about Jesus, right? Yes, but not all the way, right? Worship, we have whittled it down to the 20 to 30 minutes that we sing in a service on Sundays. And while that is included in worship, that's not the grand spectrum of what it is, right? And one of the things we got to understand in that context, let's shift into that for just a moment. Obviously, I'm very passionate about that. In that space of worship, you have to understand that it's really not about you. How often are we, I've done it, we stand in a worship service and they're singing the truths of who God is, and we can stand there just kind of taking it in. Next thing you know, your mind's wandering. And we're disengaged from our heart space of the things we're saying. When we say our affection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus, I think about the woman who comes in with the precious oil. All that she had. Breaks open the box and pours it out. No intention of holding anything back. All we are poured out on his feet. May that imagery, may that pull on your heart into a space of adoration of who he is. Not waiting for the high moment of the song to engage and lift your hands. Not waiting till you're moved in your emotions, which is part of how God created us, and that's important. But not waiting until then to engage in worship. Sometimes you got to tell yourself to worship. The psalmist says, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Rise up and praise the Lord." Sometimes you got to be like, "Hey, get it together. Hey, you know, wake up. Remember, see him for who he is. Rise up and praise the Lord. Worship him for who he is. It's not about us." I heard someone say this one time. A person who came to the church come up to the worship leader and pastor and were like, "Hey, I just got to say, I didn't like any of the songs you guys sang this morning." That happens, believe it or not. Believe it. That happens. "Hey, we didn't like any of whatever that was today," whatever. You know, and they were like, "Well, that's unfortunate, but actually it wasn't for you." Like, sting, you know, as Nora would say, burn, right? Like, it actually isn't about us. It's about a heart fixed and postured unto Jesus. Isn't he worthy? Listen, if when you hear these statements, there's something within you like not reaching out and saying, "Yes, he is worthy of it all." Ask him. Ask him to hit your heart with the revelation that Isaiah had. Seeing the Lord high and lifted up, shining in the light of his glory. The majesty of who he is. And as we go through scriptures today, I trust that you'll feel the drawing of the Lord into worship. Amen? So, worship, we worship because he's simply because he's worthy. And that's enough. It is an end in itself. Worship isn't about us. But the beauty of how God does things, he can't help but bless us. He's that good. He's better than you can even imagine. You have to settle that in your heart. We talked about him being like beyond understanding, right? He's better than you can absolutely imagine. He's better. He's gooder than you can think. Ask, think, or even imagine. And he's got great things for your life. But you have to understand that when he does, like, let's take, for example, Pastor Aaron was talking about the tithe, returning to God what is his. Some people look at that and they're like, "Oh, man, I gotta pay this much, and this, and now God wants this much, and now I got to do that," you know? That's not the way this is. God says, "Bring to me the tithe and see what I will do." He's actually pulling you into a space of trusting him with your finances. And he says, "If you do that, watch what I do." Because it's like built-in blessings, right? He just works that way. And when you worship him, I just said, right, it's not about us. But guess what happens? He unloads heaven on your life. You start to worship him for who he is. Next thing you know, all disappointments just starts to fade away. Next thing you know, those situations where you didn't understand and you didn't have a clear direction or vision, you start to think differently about it. Isn't that amazing? If you've never experienced that, try worship. And again, like I feel like I have to keep saying this, but it's not about us, but God like returns unto us. He's just that good. You can't outgive him. He like loves the song. He loves the pouring out. Then he's like, "All right, try this," you know? And then you just get another revelation of who he is and how good he is, and it just continues on. So all these things encompass, there's so much more. I mean, we could spend a whole year, every single week, talking about an aspect of God and worship unto God. But along with those things I mentioned today, I want to talk to you about worship is warfare. All right? Y'all ready for this? Da-na-na. Always hits me that way. So we are going to go to, let's start in Romans 12, and then we're going to go to 2 Chronicles. So Romans 12, verse 1, let's start there. You're going to have it on the screen here in just a moment. It says this, I'm reading from the Message version. Oh, let's go. "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what he does for you is the best thing you can do for him." Another version finishes that says, "This becomes your genuine expression of worship." Your life, hear me here, your life lived out before God as an offering is an act of warfare to the systems of the enemy. Your everyday, seemingly ordinary life lived unto God is worship and is warring against the patterns of this world. You're like, oh, you know, I'm not into warfare. You know, we've all seen, even this week, we've seen some weird spiritual warfare stuff, right? And I get it. We're growing and we're understanding things and like, Lord, help us and all these things, right? Spiritual warfare is very real. Intercession is very real. We're not talking about all those things today. But you need to understand this, that you, like, loving your family well is worship. You walking this earth as Jesus walked this earth with the character and nature of God is warfare to the enemy. It doesn't have to look like pulling out a literal sword and swinging it through the air while you're praying, right? It can actually look like loving your wife very well. It can actually look like denying yourself and helping others. That is warfare. Let's read on. Don't become so well adjusted, verse 2, to your culture. All right, let a Holy Ghost highlighter hit this scripture. This is the word of God. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you'll fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Let's pause right there. Fix your attention on God. The psalmist said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Something happens when you begin to magnify the Lord. When you shift your focus onto who he is, changes the way you walk in this world. It changes that seemingly ordinary life into something very extraordinary. Magnify the Lord with me. Focus all you are upon him. We get distracted so easy. News cycles and politics and there's and these things are of value. Like, I'm not downplaying the value they hold in our society. And we believe that as a body of Christ, we need to be engaging with culture. Amen? If you've been here for any amount of time, you get that. Okay? What I'm saying, we need to keep the focus on who he is. Because something amazing happens. That this is a familiar phrase to you as well. But as you behold him, you become like him. Right? In fact, it says this, you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Somebody say quickly. When you hear the word of the Lord to do something, do it. Don't delay. That's a matter of trust, just like giving him your finances. When he asks you of something that feels impossible or too much, trust him. Has he ever proven himself not to be trustworthy? As Nicholas was singing this morning, he's never failed me yet, and he ain't going to. Amen? I'll never forget all the things he's done, how he's led us through it all. Amen? He's not going to fail you. He can be trusted. Respond quickly to the word of the Lord. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So something happens when you look at him for who he is, right? When you live your entire life as an act of worship to the Lord. That's true worship. And that includes singing and what we do here on a Sunday morning. But it's much more than that. It's your breathing in, your breathing out. Your very existence is here to worship the Lord. A side note, work is worship. It's not like an ugly swear word, the W word, right? No. Work is actually, especially in the Hebrew culture, like when God's people, where he started this all, it was like Adam, and I preached about this earlier in the year, but like the mandate that he gave Adam and Eve was to increase the garden, to grow it in size, to offer it unto God, to take the wild, unruly earth, to subdue it and make it to a place where it will produce to the glory of God. That's worship. Whatever you set your hands to do, do it as unto the Lord. That is worship. Every part of your life, offer it unto him as a living sacrifice. And when you do that, when you see him in those moments, you encounter him like never before because he's always before you. We can endure because of the joy set before us, which is Him. Just like He endured the cross for the joy set before Him, which is you. We endure these things because of the joy set before us. Always before my eyes, you are Jesus. My focus, my being, at attention before you. Amen. We behold Him, we become like Him. And I'll tell you, back to the focus thing for just a moment. I feel like we've said this throughout the year. This is a year of unraveling, right? I'm sure you've felt it. I'm sure you've seen it. It's important to name it, right? This is what's happening this year. There's an unraveling happening, okay? I fully believe that God is allowing us, for those who will press into it, to have a fresh perspective. He's doing a new thing. You got to stay in step with Him. We're not bound by traditions. We're bound by Jesus Christ. Seal upon our hearts. We move with the Lamb of God into what He's doing. We stay in step with the Lamb and what He's doing. And in this unraveling, we've seen everything from Hollywood shut down. We've seen sporting industries shut down. All of these, what I like to say, can be idols in our lives and in our nation. And I want to tell you, like, God says it very plainly, even in the Ten Commandments, you'll have no other gods before me. Listen, He doesn't say that because He's insecure. Man, I just hope you guys won't worship the Steelers more than me today. Oh, man. No. He recognizes what you worship, you become like. And when we worship the Creator in whose image we are created, it draws us into our intended design. Our full lives lived as worship. He's drawing you into that today. You have an opportunity to say, God, rid my life of any idol. Anything that I have placed more hope in, more value in, or more joy in than you, God, take it away. I don't want it. Because the systems of this world will fall. Just the way it is. The earth, the literal earth, will fade away. We can go all the way to that point if we need to, right? The systems are going to fail you. They're going to fall. What remains? His word endures forever. Who He is. He gives us an unshakable kingdom. Come on, somebody. Like, let this stir faith in your heart today that there is an unshakable kingdom that you have been given. Anything, anytime you see yourself processing whatever's happening in the world, whatever's happening in your personal life, your home life, your work life, you need a healing. I mean, fill in the blank. What are you facing right now? If you can't look at that with hope in your heart that God will do something about it, something's got to change. And I want to propose to you today that the way to change that is worship. Because not only are you declaring who He is, which shifts things, I've seen you move the mountains. I'm going to see you do it again. Man, come on. This isn't just like fairy tales. We know this. Literal moving of mountains. Literal, like, people standing at a sea, an army raging behind them, and they're like, well, what you got? Right? Keep on walking. It's going to be dry ground. Supernatural. He's not bound by the things in the parameters of this earth. He calls you into that life. He saved you from an ordinary life. Hallelujah. A supernatural, spirit-filled life, and you need to grow in that. That's why we have a school of ministry. To train you in the ways of the supernatural. We are seated, as we sang this morning, as Aaron declared, we're seated in heavenly places. Come on, amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. So the idol's got to go. God says, no other gods before me. And what happens is just like in, it's Matthew 14. Peter begins to walk on the water. The storm is raging around him, but he stays above it. as long as his eyes are fixed. The storm will rage around you. That's what storms do. That's the earth. That's what's going to happen. How do you stay above it? How do you walk on it, through it, over it, with eyes fixed on Jesus? And we see the moment he begins to look around and say, oh man, I got to figure something out about this wave, right? I got to sort this out. He starts to sink. It's too much. Eyes fixed in worship, in adoration. Keep your heart rooted in the presence of God. Amen? Amen. Go with me, next portion here. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's go. Uh-oh. We're going to move quick through this. We're going to move through this pretty quick because at the end of today, I want to spend just a few moments together in worship doing what we talked about. And I believe God's going to deliver people from fear today. I believe people are going to get healed today. I'm just going to prophesy this, that have dealt with anxiety specifically for years. It's going to fall off you today as you fix your focus upon him. Amen. You believe it? Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's read together. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Meunites. Man, I read over this so many times too, and I knew I was going to. All them mites. They declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news, and he begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting, so people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek God's help. He found himself surrounded by his enemies. Not just one, literally three enemy armies marching against him. He's like, we got nothing against this. We're in trouble. He was terrified. He turns to the Lord. He calls a fast. He begins to pray. We're going to see some of the things he does that's going to set up a miracle, all right? So take note. Pray, fast, worship. Let's go. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah in Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. Listen to this. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You're a powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. That's our God. I'm going to read that again. Actually, I want you to do this. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to hear with the ears of heaven today. You are ruler over all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. That's your God. That's who fights for you and the purposes of God over your life. Verse 7, O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your Israel arrived? And did you not give this land to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any such calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear and rescue us. I want you to see what they're doing. They're recalling their history with the Lord. They're remembering the times he delivered them. They're remembering the times when it seemed like all hope was lost, and yet it was not. Reminding themselves, here not only is what God has done for us, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning in thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. That's our story. Nothing you are facing today is beyond his reach. Remind yourself what he's done. I look around this room, I see so many miracles. Healings, physical healings, emotional healings, restoration of relationships. God's doing it. This is what he's doing right now. See it with fresh eyes today. Remind yourself of what he's done. They knew where to go when the time of trouble was, right? They were like, let's get to the temple of God, inquire of the Lord. And now see that the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt, so they went around and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they come to throw us out of our land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking for you to help. Another version says, but our eyes are upon you. You may not know what to do right now for that child who's running from God. You may not know what to do right now when they're talking about cutting your job. You may not know what to do when you're facing another round of chemo. But you position yourself with your eyes fixed on who he is. You may not know what to do with our political climate right now and the turmoil that is just rolling through our nation. It's been a difficult year for us. But we're believing that God heal our land. God, whatever it takes, heal our land. We humble ourselves before you. Have your way. We follow the Lamb. Amen. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. We look to you. Listen to this. I Psalm 46, verse 8 through 10. And this just stirred my heart. Everyone look. Come and see the breathtaking wonders of our God. For he brings both ruin and revival. He's the one who makes conflicts end throughout the earth, breaking and burning every weapon of war. Another version said he breaks the bow across his knee. I love that. This is God, powerful God. You serve a mighty God. Surrender your anxiety. What a picture. Surrender it. Give it up. It's got no chance. Surrender your anxiety today. Be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. I am the God above all. Somebody say all. All the nations. And I will be exalted throughout the whole earth. Verse 11. Here he stands, the commander, the mighty Lord of angels' army is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon him. And guess what? Sometimes that's enough. Let's keep reading. Hallelujah. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children. I'm talking about all the families there. Raise up your children. Come on, get them together. Show them the way of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. He was a Levite. God comes upon a musician and singer of the day. All right? Comes upon him. Gives him the word of the Lord. He stands up. He said, listen, verse 15, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged by that mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. I'm here to tell you today, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged even. For the mighty army that surrounds trying to destroy your life and what God is doing in you and through you, for the battle is the Lord's. You can rest in that. That's when the psalm says, one version says, be still and know that I am God. We're going to see God move. That hasn't changed. That hasn't shifted. The battle is not yours, but it's God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up from the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens in the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions and still, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. O people of Judah and Jerusalem, don't be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Listen. All you got to do is show up. Unfortunately, sometimes we don't. All you got to do is show up to step into what God wants to do. And I feel that, like, that's a big statement. Show up not just like disheveled and hopeless, but with hope in your heart, understanding what we just walked through, right? And show up and say, God, you said it. I'm here to see it happen. Right? It's a position of expectancy. Right? Get your hopes up. For crying out loud, we're talking about the God of angel armies. Get your hopes up. He can do it for you. He can heal that disease. Come on. He can bring that child home. He can provide for your needs. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. He's that good. And he wants to do it for you. Amen. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. This speaks to humility. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then again, we see the choir rise up. The Levites begin to sing of who God was. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." You need to believe in the word of the Lord, what he's spoken to you and what he's spoken through prophets. And you stand on the word, and you believe it, and you show up with expectancy to see it. Amen? After consulting the people, the king appointed, this is verse 21, he appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising his name for his holy splendor. And this is what they sang: "Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever." Now, I'm not like a student of war, but I know you don't put singers on the front line. I know, like, a typical way to win a battle isn't to send out musicians and singers to the front line, right? But God ain't typical. He says, send the worshipers and singers out. They begin to sing, and guess what they did? They gave thanks. Sometimes we, like, this is part of the showing up, where you thank him for what he said he's going to do. You don't have to convince him. He said it. He wants to do it. Like, if you don't know what he wants to do, right here, dig into this. He'll show you what he wants to do in the earth right now. Okay? So give thanks. Sometimes we come and we feel like we still have to beg for him to do something, even as this chapter started. But they shifted, and by this point, they were like, let's just give him thanks. He said what he was going to do. He'll do it. Do you see the posture of faith in that worship? It's not like, God, will you please, God, if you could only. It's, thank you. Your kingdom advances. Thank you. Things are changing. At that very moment, somebody say, now. They began to sing and give praise to the Lord. They began to sing and give thanks. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. Their armies turned against their allies and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army, they began attacking each other. Listen to this. So, when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point. Okay, all that happens before they even get there. Come on, you know what this reminded me of? It says, at that moment, they began to sing. So they start to sing and give thanks to God. They're not like, God, destroy the enemy. God, call down fire. You know? They're like, God, thank you. You're really that good. You're true to your word. You're an everlasting, like, your love endures forever. Like, this is the simplicity of their worship to God. This worship is warfare. Your life lived unto him is warfare. This kind of worship is warfare. They begin to thank God for what he said and for his love that endures forever. And even when they can't see it, he's working. Come on. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working right here, right now, in my life, in this nation, in the earth today, your kingdom moves forward. He's working right now. I'm going to have the worship team come. We're going to end with some worship. But I need you to understand today. They weren't even there. They couldn't see it with their eyes. They're just saying, all right, we're just going to thank God. He's that good. And next thing you know, the enemy turns on itself. Like, turns on itself. That's confusion. When you praise, it releases confusion on the enemy. It turns on itself. The confusion that it tries and chaos it tries to cause turns within and destroys itself. That's what's going to happen to the enemy in your life right now. Why don't you stand with me? And I want to tell you this. God is moving on your behalf. In fact, this verse goes on to say that they go and they show up. They come to the overlook and they're like, oh my goodness. Those armies that I was terrified of laid waste. And I want to tell you this. The Word of God tells us this as well. The day that Satan is put on trial before the earth and he's seen, one of the versions says like, wait, that's it? That's what was causing all this issue? Revealed for what it is. He's powerless. He has power because you give it away. Not no more. I like that. Someone said that. Let's go. I love it. God is calling you to worship. Your worship is warfare. The way you live your life, the way you love others is worship, is warfare. The way you can love somebody who has a different political belief than you is warfare. I didn't say the way you can argue with them, the way you can prove your point. No, 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 no. This is how the world will know you are my disciples, by how good of an argument you can spin up. By the way you love. That's warfare. That literally is dismantling the kingdom of darkness with every step. By his character being released in the earth. You carry that light. So they come up on the scene and it literally takes them like 3 days to plunder and get all the spoils of war that they had to do, that they just sang and God did it. That it took them like longer to pull in the blessing than it did to release the worship. And then it says this, from that point on, this place was known as the Valley of Blessing. The place that the enemy has marked your life for destruction will become your Valley of Blessing. All you got to do is show up today. So right now, I want you to lift your hands all across this room. Start giving thanks to God. I'm not going to put a word on the screen. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. But I want you to look at that thing that stands in your way, that thing that's left you hopeless, that thing that has come into your life where you've faced it time and time again and you haven't seen the breakthrough. I want you to look at it in the face, then I want you to cast it aside, and I want you to lift your eyes to heaven and say, thank you, God, that you're working on my behalf here and now. Come on, all you got to do is show up this morning and worship the Lord with gladness. All you got to do is set your heart upon what he said, what he will do. Because even though you can't see it right now, he's working. You lift your voice in worship. You lift your voice in worship today. Come on, I want to hear like a sound of worship come. Can you imagine walking the hillside towards what you thought was destruction and lifting your voice in the face of it and saying, give thanks to God, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to God, for his love endures forever. We give thanks today, God. Come on, hands lifted high all across this room. This is not for man. This isn't for anybody on this stage. This isn't for feel good moment. This is for your destiny. This is for the destiny of what God wants to do in the earth today. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace being poured out in the earth today. So God, we thank you. Thank you that you're a healer. Thank you that you're a deliverer. Thank you that you're a unifier. Thank you that you draw in the prodigal to yourself. Thank you. I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. Yeah, let's sing for always being.